Father God, we pray now for the continued anointing upon this word, Lord, and that hearts will be open, Lord, that today will be a milestone for somebody, a turning point for somebody, Lord, that they will be able to look back on this day, Lord, November 11th, Lord, and know that their life changed something, the direction of their life, the condition of their heart changed today. Somebody agree with me right now that people will not leave the same way as they came in. We ask, Father, for this blessing and for your anointing on this message. In Jesus' name, help me, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Last week, we began to talk about the condition of our heart, and we had a very good conversation, if you could put it that way, discussion about how God looks at our heart and the fact that the heart is the spiritual center of our life. And it's sort of like the command center. Everything that happens for us for the good and even for bad really comes through that command center. The heart encompasses the attitudes, the emotions, our will, and basically the direction of our life. All has to do with the condition of our heart. And we know that we have to take care of our physical heart, but God wants us to take care of our spiritual heart. Can you say amen? So let's look once again at Proverbs chapter 4. There's much more that God has to say about this, and also how we can have help for our heart today if your heart is troubled in any way. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. These are the words of Solomon. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Another translation says it is the wellspring of your life. In other words, what happens there in your heart, and the interchange between your heart and other people, your heart and God, your heart and your thoughts, will determine what happens ultimately in your life. It's the influence over your attitudes. It's the influence over your outlook, the decisions you make, the direction of your life, and so on. So when Solomon, who was the wisest man that ever lived, says, above all else, when he says above all else, in other words, this is the most important thing I'm telling you right now, and he's the wisest man that ever lived. How many of you know we should put our ears on right there? We should pay attention. If the Solomon is saying above everything else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life, the course of your life. I don't want us to be uninformed or naive, because there has been a battle, a royal battle, an all-out assault on the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. All you have to do is turn on the news and you know that people's hearts are troubled. All you have to do is watch the news and you know that people's hearts have gone far, far away from God. And there are people who are filled with disturbing thoughts, fearful thoughts, angry thoughts, revengeful thoughts. That's why people take up guns and they go out and shoot people, because they're not well. There's something wrong inside of them. And they've given in to the lower instincts. They've given in to the schemes of Satan. Because Satan comes to kill and to steal and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But don't make any mistake about it. There is a battle. Every day you have to choose which influence you're going to allow to guide your life. Is it going to be the influence of the world, the flesh, the devil, or is it going to be the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Just about every morning of our lives, my wife and I, we pray at our kitchen table. And we say, Lord, we surrender our body, our soul, and spirit to you under your authority. I declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ over my life. I pray today, Lord, that the greatest influence of my life will not be my feelings, not be the negative thoughts, not be the lies of Satan, not be my fears, but the greatest influence in my life will be the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the leadership of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So there's a battle for the affections, the loyalty. God wants our heart. In another place in Proverbs, he says, Son, give me your heart. Have you given your heart to Jesus today? Have you really, really thought about that recently? Does my entire heart, all of its affection, all of its loyalty, is it in perfect harmony with God? Is it interacting with God in the right way? Or are there parts of me that are shut down? There are parts of me where there's a no admittance sign. God, you can come into all these other areas, but you can't come into this part of my life. Satan's scheme from the beginning was to deceive our hearts, to cause us to doubt God's good intentions. Remember when he said to Eve, has God really said you should not eat of this fruit? Doesn't God know that you're going to become wise? And don't you realize that you can be like God? And God gave us all of the fruit of the knowledge of good, but he did not want us to have the knowledge of evil. Somebody say amen. Amen. He wanted us to feed ourselves on the knowledge of the trees of good. God never intended for us to be involved with evil, but that's what Satan did in the beginning. He tricked Adam and Eve into thinking that if they participated of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, they would somehow be wise. They would somehow be great. And what a huge mistake they made. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So it's always been Satan's scheme from the beginning to turn God's good intentions, to make you think God doesn't want the best for you. If you give God control of your life, you're going to get weird. You're going to be a religious fanatic. You're going to miss all the fun. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to laugh at you. These are all the lies of Satan. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It is God's will that you have life. I can tell you this morning, after 50 years of serving the Lord and walking with him from the time I was 17 years old, that the best life that I could have ever imagined for myself happened when I joined in partnership with Jesus Christ, when I allowed Jesus to be in the driver's seat of my life. I'm having the best life that I could because of Christ. And yet the lie that Satan tells you is that you're going to miss something. Don't give your life to Jesus because you're going to get weird. You're going to be strange. You're going to be a religious fanatic. You're going to be a bigot. You're going to be a prejudice. You're going to be this or that. What lies? What lies? I'm here to tell you this morning that the best life that you could ever have is walked out in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He has that life still for you. If your heart is damaged this morning, it damages your ability to receive the good things that God, if you don't trust him, if you've turned off, you're not listening. And you know, we talked about last week the four different kinds of soil described in the parable of the soil. How many of you remember that from last week? And we discovered as we studied that those four different kinds of soil were really an expose on the condition of our heart. Because it says in one of the scriptures, it says that when the seed is sown, which is represents the seed, represents the word of God, is sown, Satan comes along and takes what is sown in the heart. There's a little clue right there. He takes right away, he tries to take out what God's trying to put in your heart. Don't tell me there's no battle going on. There is a battle. And then it says at the last one, it says the seed that was sown on the good soil represents those people who have a good and noble heart. And so they allow the seed to germinate. They allow God's word to take root in them. And they cooperate with it. And they begin to listen to God. And little by little, their life becomes full and real. And the reason for their existence comes into view. Praise the Lord. So I'm here to tell you this morning, God can renew your heart. He can restore. He can take the burdens, the troubles, and make you a whole and healthy person today. If your heart is hardened, this is the first one that Jesus warned about. It mentions that the heart was hard and the word of God that was sown doesn't even have a chance to germinate. Notice how Jesus warned his own disciples about this. He said to them in Mark chapter 8, when they were doubting that Jesus could provide bread for them, because Jesus said to them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. In other words, warning them about hypocrisy. You got to understand the context. They had just had a miracle of 5,000 people being fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they had 12 baskets left over. And now they're sitting around talking and saying, oh my goodness, we don't have bread. And I could picture Jesus getting just a little bit, you know, firm. And, you know, I don't know if you would call it irritated, but he certainly gave them a rebuke. Everybody say a rebuke. He says, Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? You see, when a heart becomes hardened, it just disconnects with the faith and with the blessing of knowing what God can do in our life and forgets. He says, don't you remember the 5,000 people, the 5 loaves? Don't you remember how many baskets were left over? This rebuke is not because he's mad at them. It's because he loves them. And he wants them to get it right. Hard-heartedness is what keeps some Christians in a rut. Not growing, but going in circles. They're going, but they're not growing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going, but are you growing? You're going, but are you growing? There's no chance. There's no interaction between the seed and the Holy Spirit because the heart is closed. Is there something that happened to you? Listen to me, friends. Listen to God's word today. Is there something that's happened to you that is causing you to shut down, to close your heart to God? A hard heart is a heart with the wrong set of values. It doesn't respond or act upon the love. Here God is in these services. Just take this setting right here. Week after week, we're preaching about the love and truth of Jesus Christ. I'm sowing the word, right? Just like it says, a farmer goes out sowing the word, sowing the seed. But the effect that it has on us depends on the condition of your heart. If you leave this place after week after week after week and there's no change in your life, ask yourself the question, what is going on with my heart? You know, Jesus was amazed at the hardness of their heart. It takes a lot to make Jesus amazed. After all, he's God, right? Jesus was amazed at the hardness of their heart. But yet we think that, you know, well, so-and-so hurt me, or I had a bad experience one time, and the news media says that all Christians are bigots, and all Christians are this or that or the other thing. Dear Lord, have mercy on us. Deliver us from a hard heart. Oh, God, help us. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, listen to this. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Luke 16, God knows your hearts. Watch this. What is highly valued among people is detestable in God's sight. The things that people value are very often just the opposite of what God values. Wow. The world values fame and fortune and good looks and, you know, power and might and, you know, pushing others and stepping over people to get where you have to go. God says those things are detestable in God's sight. The Pharisees were a good example of that. They just were concerned about their outward appearance. But how many of you know that God looks beyond the outward appearance? Hallelujah. I don't care how you're dressed here today, how much money you have in the bank or don't have. Hallelujah. What country you came from, what kind of background you have. Hallelujah. If you receive Christ into your life, you will become a son of God, a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You will have a place at God's table. God wants to make you a full-fledged son or daughter of Christ, of God. Hallelujah. Inheriting his blessings in your life. Is your heart hard? Is it closed? Thankfully, today we can still do business with God. Say, I'm still breathing. I'm alive. And where there's life, there's hope. Today at these altars, you can make a decision. Just like Pastor Dave did when I was 17 years old. I stood up in a crowd on a Sunday morning at a youth retreat. And my family were believers. I was in church. But little did they know, my heart was so hard. My heart was so far from God. And God really, by his Holy Spirit, reached my heart. He kept on pleading with my heart. His grace was not without effect. Amen. And I stood up and I said, today I want you to know that even though I look like a Christian, I have not been a Christian. And from this day on, I give my heart to Christ. And that was over 50 years ago. And he has never failed me. Hallelujah. He has never failed me. If you sense the Holy Spirit speaking to you today, knocking on your heart, please listen. You know, one of the first things to having a change of heart is being honest.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to be honest.
Yes. Yes.
You know, if we say we have no sin, the Bible says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no sin that's too great that God can't forgive. And that's why we need to not only repent of our sins, but also forgive other people of their sins. So it begins with honesty. And look at this promise in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, God says, a time will come when I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out that stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Hallelujah. God can give you a heart that's sensitive to him today. Hallelujah. How is your heart today? Secondly, there are people here today with a discouraged or disillusioned heart. It's worn out. It's characterized by a loss of joy. Are you sitting here this morning? Can honestly say, you know what? My Christian life is not as joyful as it used to be. I've lost my joy. I've lost some of my joy. That's the enemy. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to steal your joy. But I have a word for you today. God is not finished with you.
Amen.
The devil may be telling you that there's no use in trying because nothing changes and you always seem to be come back to the same place you started. I'm here to tell you, do not give up on your faith. Hallelujah. Do not give up on God, for the Lord says, he is faithful who began a good work in you. He will bring it to completion. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And God is at work within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Say, God is at work in me. He's still working on me. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disillusioned. I want to say this too. This is something very distinctly that the Lord reminded me about this week. You need to have a God-based vision for your life. One of the things that create discouragement and disillusionment is that we lose the vision that God has for our life. We just are surviving. We're caught up in the day-to-day with our problems. We're caught up with, you know, the doctor visits and the bills and my spouse who's too cranky. Somebody say amen. Not my spouse, of course. You know, we get caught up. We get caught up with how am I going to make it through another day? And this is it brings discouragement. But the Lord said to me, tell the people, grasp a vision, a God-filled vision for your life. What is God's preferred future for me? Amen? In other words, how does God see my future as compared to how I see my future? I can tell you right now from experience that God's view of your future is much more optimistic than yours. And it's greater than you can imagine. Hallelujah. It's much greater than you can imagine. Great things he has in store. Great things. Turn off the negative influences. Shut out the negative voices. If you're discouraged today, disillusioned, depressed, I encourage you to turn up your spiritual influences. That means prayer. That means listening to worship music. That means meeting with a group of brothers and sisters. That means getting out and going out and do something for somebody else, the McDonald's house, or you know, sending food to Venezuela. Whatever it is, get up. Shut out the negative voices and turn on the positive voices of hope and faith in your life. The spiritual influences. And then the third one is a distracted or cluttered heart. This is a heart that is wanting to serve God and is doing their best, but there's also competition for their affection. There's distractions. There's anxiety. There are things that are demanding your attention. There are people that, you know, you just can't say no to. And you're being led by false guilt. This is for somebody today. Come on. You need to put boundaries and margins around your life. If your life is distracted and constantly being consumed by clutter and anxiety, I say to you today, you need to say no to some things. I don't know what it is for you, but I know the things I have to say no to. You know, if I'm about to have my prayer time or I'm about to read my Bible and the phone rings or whatever, I'll let it go to the message. Let it go to voicemail. Take your phone and shut it off. Somebody say amen. Get off of social media for a few hours. You know, some of us, we could have a whole sermon on this, but some of us have, the phone is literally like a part of our hand now. It's like attached to our hand. You know who you are. Here's what God is saying. I'm jealous over your affection. God is jealous over your affection. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The Bible talks about the distractions as like being weeds and being, you know, bad seed. Like if you ever try to raise a garden, you got all these crazy weeds grow up. You got to constantly pull weeds out because it stifles the fruit. It chokes the fruit. The Lord is saying, what is first in your life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. The Lord spoke to me and said, tell the people to guard what they are consuming and what consumes them. Amen. The Lord says, guard what you are consuming. If you're listening to gossip, if you're listening to the news 24 hours a day, Lord help you. Or even a few hours a day can become depressing. What are you consuming? What is your self-talk like? The Bible says be renewed in your mind by the Word of God. Memorize some scriptures. We had a little contest with Colin, our grandson, who's here today. And nice to see Chris back. Chris, God bless you, brother. Amen. My son-in-law. And we asked him if he would memorize scripture. Actually, his mother bought the flashcards and memorized scripture, one for every word in the alphabet. So that's 26 scriptures for a 7-year-old. That's a lot. Of course, we offered to give him $2 for every one that he mentioned, memorized. Grandparents, you know. So... but sure enough, he kept at it, and he's got $52 in the bank. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what is it that you're taking into your life? Dwell on the Word. Meditate on the Word. Speak the Word in prayer. Speak. We said this Wednesday night in our prayer meeting. God loves to hear His Word when you pray. Okay, God, you said, if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive. You said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You said, none of these diseases that you gave to the Egyptians will come on me. And you're speaking his word from your mouth. Amen. And the final one is a disloyal or divided heart. God spoke to about the people of Israel and their backslidings in Psalm 78, verse 7 and 8. Do we have that on the screen? Here's what he said about his own people. He said, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but they would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. God wants our hearts to be loyal to him. You may say, I love God, but the pull of the world is still strong. I love God, but I just get caught up in worry all the time. You know, I love God, but I have an anger problem. I love God, but I have a comfort zone problem. You know, I like being in my comfort zone. God's asking too much for me, of me. I can't live this life. It's too hard. Hearts that go astray. Today, if you struggle with that, make Jesus the Lord of your life once and for all. Get out of the driver's seat. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And let him be the driver. Let him be the Lord of your life. Don't be afraid to give him total control of your life. Fear and pride and disloyalty is the enemy of trust. Don't be afraid that God is going to cheat you out of something. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? There's nothing more important than God's kingdom. There's nothing more important than your loyalty to Christ today. Hallelujah. So whatever's going on in your life, I'm calling today for a deeper surrender, a fresh surrender of our lives to God. Lord, I want to give you all of my heart. The Bible says if you seek him and you seek him with all of your heart, he will be found by you. I don't know who you are today, but the Lord told me to preach this message. How many of you know I should obey God and whatever he says? If you're here this morning and you know you have not given your whole heart to Jesus, the Bible says that with the mouth confession is made, but with the heart a man believes. You may have been brought up in church. Maybe you've been in church all your life. Just like me when I was 17 years old. But I knew my heart wasn't fully God's. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, is there someone here today? Say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I really do want Jesus to be in my life. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I'm not saying that I can be perfect. None of us are. But I do want his leadership in my life. I want Christ to take away my sins. I want to trust Jesus as my only Savior. Are you here today while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Would you just quickly slip up a hand and say, yes, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus into my life. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Amen. You could put it down. Anybody else this morning? Yes, I need Christ in my life. If you sense the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart this morning, will you say yes to God? Will you say yes to God? One more time, I'm going to ask if there's anyone else who will say, yes, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. I want him to have my whole heart. I don't want my heart to be hard. I don't want it to be disloyal. I don't want it to be discouraged or cluttered. I want God to have my whole heart. One more time, would you put your hand up this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. We're going to sing it one more time before we close. But this is your opportunity to take a step of faith. I would be lying to you if I said that following Jesus is easy. It takes courage. It takes faith. He needs to be number one in your life. But by taking a step of faith, you're not saying, God, I promise I'm going to be perfect. No, what you're saying is, come into my life, Jesus. Help me to live out this Christian life. Help me, Lord, live inside of me. I can't do this without you, God. And so as we sing this, I want everyone who's saying today, Lord, I want to take a step of faith. I want to give a fresh surrender of my heart to you. I want you to heal my heart. I want you to live in me. I want you to step out of your seat and come to this altar. We're going to say a prayer together, okay? So as we sing it, step out now. Take that step of faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We surrender, God. Don't stop praying. Just keep praying for a minute. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way among us. You know, sometimes we fill every space because we're afraid of quietness. We're afraid of a quiet moment. We want to fill every quiet moment with some kind of noise. But right now, would you just bow your heads if you're here at the altar or where you're seated? Just bow your heads and just ask this question. Lord, how is my heart? What is the condition of my heart, Lord? Is it completely yours, God? Am I willing to give you control? Am I willing to let go of control and give it to Jesus? Hallelujah. Would you just take a moment and pray and praise the Lord together? Hallelujah. Let's just wait on God for a minute. It's early. Hallelujah. There's no rush. We don't have to rush out of here. Come on, let's do some business with God today. Speak to me, Lord, about my family, Lord, about my priorities, Lord. Are there any idols in my life, Lord? You know, an idol is the thing that means the most to you. Whatever means the most to you, that's your idol. And if it's not God, then do some business right now. Church, are you with me today? An idol is the thing that means the most to you. Hallelujah. And it's not just the talk, it's the walk. Amen. Hallelujah. When I was 17 years old, I had a good talk, but I wasn't walking the walk. And let me tell you something, I was a good hypocrite. I had a lot of people fooled. Is anybody tracking with me this morning? I was a good hypocrite. Even my parents, I had them fooled for a while. But God saw my heart. And thank God he was patient with me. Thank God he didn't give up on me. Amen. Brother Joe, can you come up for a second? Come on. I don't feel like we're finished here. Hallelujah. 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 I just feel like the Holy Spirit. People are praying. Intercessors. Hallelujah. Help us with that one more time. I surrender all. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel like there's a war for our young people. I don't know if you're feeling that, parents, but there's a battle for the hearts and minds of our youth. Our children, our grandchildren, the enemy is trying to steal them. Steal their affections. He's got all of his big guns. He's got the media. He's got Hollywood. He's got secular education. All of these things speaking against God. Who's praying for our young people? Who's pleading for them?
You know, a heart that's soft is a gift. It's a gift from God. Don't ever take that lightly. And if your heart is hard, please, if it's discouraged, if it's broken, if it's bitter, don't live like that. God has so much more for you. It's a gift to have a heart that's open to the Holy Spirit. It's an adventure. It's amazing because our God will speak to you. He literally will through his Holy Spirit. He'll guide you. He'll give you favor. He'll help you to forgive so you can get past the past. And so you could walk into the amazing life he has for you. Hallelujah. Lord, we just come to you this morning. Oh, Lord, I know, Lord, through many things we go through in life, God, that sometimes we harden our hearts, Lord. Sometimes they're broken and we don't want to even try anymore. Or sometimes, Lord, we're discouraged and we want to give up because it's easier to just give up. But in the name of Jesus, we pray the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be released in this sanctuary this morning. We pray that a healing balm of Gilead would go through this auditorium. I pray, Lord, that hard hearts would melt. Not, Lord, just in brokenness, Lord, brokenness before you, but healing in their heart. That I just see, like, as the melting comes, that the holes and the scars, that the melting will fill it in. That the Holy Spirit wants to fill in the broken places, those hard places. Lord, we just thank you that we don't have to be discouraged. Yes, Lord, we're in a war, but you are the victor. We said it today that you're our banner. And we believe that by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be victorious. No matter what we are going through right now, God, that we will be victorious in the name of Jesus. Lord, encourage hearts today, Lord. Not with false hope, but the hope that only Jesus Christ can give. The light that only He could bring into darkness. The hope that He could bring into hopelessness. We thank You, Lord. We thank You that what is impossible with man, Lord, what sometimes takes years of counseling and healing and deliverance, Lord, You can do by Your Holy Spirit in a moment, God. We pray that, Jesus. We pray that old-fashioned Pentecost, God, that would reach our hearts, that we wouldn't just give part of our heart, but we would give it all to You, and that You would be free to work in the deepest, darkest hidden places of our life. Those places that have been cut off. Those places that are hardened and sheltered. That the Holy Spirit would reach by Your power today. And we thank You that we don't have to be slaves to this in Jesus' name. That we don't have to be in bondage. That we could walk down the road of honesty with You. And find healing and power. And find our testimony. There are testimonies, the Lord says, that He is releasing in this place. That when You are delivered, You will give Him the honor and the glory and the praise for what He has done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Just lift your hand and say, I'm Yours, God. I belong to the King. I'm a child of His love. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn around and greet somebody. Give somebody a hug. Say, God bless you. God love you.